Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, which brews beers that are highly rated by beer critics and beer lovers alike. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
This is Sound Opinions, and this week, Jim, we are taking a tour of Brazil because those Summer Olympics that you may or may not have been watching are just about wrapping up. But there's plenty of music to hear from that country as well. Now, this is a vast country with a vast history, so we're going to focus on one particular era, 1958 through 68. Very important time for Brazilian music, the culture, the society, the country as a whole. We're talking about a period from when musically they went from bossa nova to MPB to tropicália, movements that are still influencing the music today. And to speak to that, at the end of the segment, we're going to talk about the contemporary scene in Brazil.
Yeah, it's not just ancient history. To help guide us on our world tour, we're joined by Sergio Mielnischenko. Since 1978, he's hosted Brazilian Hour, a radio show in Los Angeles. Sergio, welcome to Sound Opinions.
Oh, pleasure to be with you.
So, Sergio, bossa nova emerges in the 50s, and it changes Brazilian music forever. It's literally a new way, which is what bossa nova means in Portuguese, right?
Right. A new way of doing something. Right.
A new way, but it had its roots.
Obviously, yes. Bossa nova, I think, comes from samba canção, slow samba, bolero-like samba.
Copacabana, o mar eterno cantor. Ao te beijar, ficou perdido de amor.
As well as jazz, classical music, so it's like a fusion of some different styles that generated the new sound in Brazil in the late 50s.
And it was that West Coast cool jazz in particular, right, that captured Brazilians' imagination?
Jazz in general is very much part of the music of Brazil. Musicians always loved jazz, always looking for that new vinyl arriving in Rio. And so you start kind of putting it all together. And then with our rhythms, our native rhythms, the samba, and that evolves slowly into a new type of music that is bossa nova.
What are those rhythms and what's unique about them, uniquely Brazilian?
It's the pandeiro, the tambourine. It's the hi-hats of a drum. You know, it has this sort of a agogô, kind of cowbell type of thing. That is the essence. It's the percussion. It's the batuque. You know, it's both music and dance.
What was happening culturally, politically in Brazil that gave a license to this kind of music to be born, to flourish the way it did? Because usually the music is a reflection in some ways of what's going on culturally. What was happening in Brazil at the time?
Yeah, definitely. Around that time was the building of Brasilia. So the capital of Brazil was Rio de Janeiro. And in 1960, it moves to the center of Brazil and the capital became Brasilia. So we had a very positive moment, I think, worldwide. You know, you had in Brazil was the building of Brasilia. The background music of our life was bossa nova. The lyrics reflected that feeling of the sea, the girl, the sand, and the little boat, and so on. So there was a moment of a positive feeling of Brazil and Brazilians.
Volta do mar, desmaia o sol e o barquinho deslizar. E a vontade de cantar. Céu tão azul, ilhas do sul e o barquinho, coração deslizando na canção. Tudo isso é paz, tudo isso traz uma calma de verão. Então o barquinho vai, a tardinha cai. O barquinho vai.
1958 was the time when the first album came out in Rio, or in Brazil. It was called Canção do Amor Demais on the voice of Elisete Cardoso. The guitarist backing Elisete Cardoso was a young musician named João Gilberto.
Outra vez sem você, outra vez sem amor, outra vez vou sofrer, vou chorar até você voltar.
So it was pretty much the first time you can say that he played with someone, and from that point on, he was himself. You know, soon after, his own album was released, and it became so big in Brazil and eventually worldwide.
Vai minha tristeza e diz a ela que sem ela não pode ser. Diz-lhe numa prece que ela regresse, porque eu não posso mais sofrer. Chega de saudade, a realidade é que sem ela não há paz, não há beleza, é só tristeza e a melancolia que não sai de mim, não sai de mim, não sai.
João Gilberto came up with a new way of playing the guitar and singing. Very simple, but very complicated. It's hard to find somebody who can do what he does. You know, he took the sounds of a samba, distilled the instruments, and transposed to the guitar and voice.
What made his singing so exciting to young Brazilians?
You have to think of the history of music in Brazil. Because a little before Bossa Nova, for a long time, to be a good singer, to be considered a good singer, you had to have a powerful voice. You know, it comes all the way from the operatic type of singing.
Quanto mais ponho bebida, mais a sombra colorida aparece ao meu olhar.
So when Bossa Nova comes about and João Gilberto singing with a little voice, very minimal, in a guitar, there was a moment of a challenge.
And that track that was hugely popular about the singer being off-key.
Right, off-key, desafinado. So he says, and he talks a little bit about being off-key and having the little voice, and that the song comes from the heart. And I think that marked, you know, the change, the going from one movement, one type of music into another, in another stage in Brazilian music.
Se você disser que eu desafino, amor, saiba que isto em mim provoca imensa dor. Só privilegiados têm ouvido igual ao seu. Eu possuo apenas o que Deus me deu.
You know, the name we haven't talked about yet is Antônio Carlos Jobim, or Tom Jobim. All the songs we've talked about so far, they were composed by him, along with countless other standards. Is it safe to say that no songwriter was more important to Bossa Nova than Jobim?
Yeah, Jobim is possibly the most important and, well, most well-respected composer of the Bossa Nova era, yes.
Tristeza não tem fim. Felicidade, sim.
Jobim is a universal person who has a lot of love for Brazil, the nature, the forests, and the ocean, and the beautiful people. And he was able to bring all that into his music. And that pretty much became the Bossa Nova that we know of Jobim. It's very romantic, very lyrical.
Ai, Gindi, se soubesses o bem que eu te quero, o mundo seria Gindi, tudo Gindi, lindo Gindi.
Gindi, olha, Gindi.
So these early Jobim and Gilberto collaborations become hits in Brazil. And then the moment when bossa nova really explodes as a worldwide phenomenon is when the movie Black Orpheus comes out in 1959. The soundtrack has songs by Tom Jobim, Luiz Bonfá, and others, and it's a huge global success.
Manhã tão bonita, manhã. Na vida uma nova canção, cantando só teus olhos, teu riso, tuas mãos, pois há de haver um dia em que virá.
What was the public perception of bossa nova within Brazil at that point?
Bossa nova was cool. You know, you imagine like somebody walking around with a guitar and voice, very simply, and singing those songs. I mean, it was like the music of the moment. And we needed that because we have a new generation. You know, if you look what was happening around the world, you need a youth music. And believe that was the music of the youth of the late 50s and early 60s in Brazil. These young musicians, middle-class musicians, they lived right near the beach, Copacabana, Leblon. They used to get together in their apartments and have like little sessions, you know. And that's why they say um cantinho e um violão, you know, a little corner and a guitar. And that's all you need to play and to compose and to share the music. Nara Leão was pivotal in this movement. She was very tasteful, very keen about the music and lyrics and everything. She became known as the Muse of Bossa Nova. In her apartment in Rio, she would bring all these musicians and they would just jam and play until morning. So that became part of the culture of Bossa Nova in Rio de Janeiro.
Se alguém perguntar por mim, diz que fui por aí, levando um violão debaixo do braço. Em qualquer esquina eu paro, em qualquer botequim eu entro se houver motivo. É mais um samba que eu faço. Se quiserem saber se eu volto, diga que sim, mas só depois que a saudade se afastar de mim. Mas só depois que a saudade se afastar de mim.
You know, I think your point that bossa nova was a hip youth movement is important because to this day, when North Americans think about bossa nova, they picture these cheesy cocktail lounges and airline commercials, the beach, the sunset. You've got this fantasy going on.
It was the feel-good type of music, and it created this sort of myth about Brazil as well. But in Rio, there was also the instrumental heavy bossa nova, and that wasn't the mellow bossa nova that we think of. And if you listen to Sergio Mendes playing one-note samba, then it's super heavy and really vibrant. It's different from what bossa nova became to be known worldwide.
At the same time, you're talking about a composer like Jobim, who was deeply admired by the jazz musicians in America. Sinatra loved his compositions. There was a sophistication going on there in the music that was maybe belied by this sort of surface fantasy that was going on. So there was a little more complicated, a little more complex than maybe people realized, right?
Oh, yes. Bossa Nova is very sophisticated. Jobim studied classical music before he went into popular music. Marcos Valle, who wrote many great bossa nova tunes, a little post-bossa nova, but he also studied a lot of classical music.
Você é tanto que na vida nada tenho seu encanto e nem mesmo a luz do dia tem toda a sua alegria. Nem a primavera tem tanta espera, como se espera, você vem chegando, por isso vamos.
At the surface you have the beautiful melody, sometimes sounds simple, easy to absorb, but as you know, the harmonic structure is really highly sophisticated. I think that's one of the reasons why jazz musicians connected right away with bossa nova.
Those jazz musicians start to bring bossa nova to the U.S., and it becomes a craze over here. Charlie Bird and Stan Getz score a pop hit with their version of Desafinado in 1962. There's that famous sold-out concert at Carnegie Hall in November 62, featuring most of the major bossa nova stars. And the next year, Gilberto records a whole album with saxophonist Stan Getz. That has this new song, written by Jobim, featuring vocals from Gilberto's wife at the time, Astrud.
And tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah.
Girl from Ipanema, Astrud Gilberto sings it in English, but so many of these bossa nova songs were Portuguese. Was that or wasn't it an impediment to audiences in North America and the rest of the world?
Yeah. It's interesting. I think the Portuguese language and the songs, it becomes like another instrument, another phrasing. Mm. And I think people absorb that as part of the music and not necessarily understanding the lyrics. Mais Que Nada became a world hit, and it's sung in Portuguese. It seems that it doesn't really matter what it is, what the lyrics mean, but what the music feels like. It becomes this vibrant song that people simply love it.
Mais que nada, um samba como este tão legal, você não vai querer que eu chegue no final.
After a short break, we'll continue our musical world tour after the 1964 military coup in Brazil with a look at MPB and Tropicália. And later, we'll review the new album from Chicago finger-picking wizard Riley Walker. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
Coisa mais...